Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you. I had a great visit in Alabama with my mother. Even though she's not doing well, continue praying for her. She's even in the hospital now with double pneumonia. So probably the hardest time of the visit was when I first got there and went to see her that first day. She didn't act like she knew me. So that was new. So. And then I called my sister from Houston in flight back and just to check on her. And my sister told me that she had asked Mama how she was doing and things like that. And if she enjoyed my visit with her, and she had this puzzled look on her face and said to my sister, Paul was here? Why didn't he come see me? So she's at that kind of stage, and probably it was good that I went when I did, because it probably was one of the last times that, you know, will be as good as it was. So be praying for it, though. I appreciate that. Can you imagine with me this morning? I see some graduates right back here already dozing, and I just got started. Come on, guys, give me a break here. Can you imagine with me just for a few moments that you're at a seminar? I've done this seminar a number of occasions in numbers of churches, probably hundreds of Christians. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about, finding what you're best at and loving it. So that's the seminar that you have stumbled into this morning. It just happens to be called Spiritual Gifts 101. So take your handout in your bulletin, and there's some notes that you can take. I've been asked probably a dozen times, boy, are you going to get through this today? I showed it to Barry, and he was concerned. I think I can, because this is really what I'm saying right here. I'm not going to be adding a whole bunch of other stuff to it, but there are some blanks that you can fill in, okay? Finding what you are good at and loving it. How many of you feel like you know what you're really good at in serving the Lord, and you feel like you're in your niche, you're in your place, you're in your element, and you're doing it? That's what we're talking about today. Many of you, I hope, are. But maybe some today here would like to know better how to find really what you're good at and what God wants you to do. Let me begin with a story or two. One of the favorite things in my ministry is sitting down and talking with people, such as Rose right here. Rose has been here now about 4 years, right? Something like that. And when Rose first came, we talked about ministry. We had one of our meetings, and we talked about ministry. And she related to me about being in another church, another place, her life back then. And what a difference Northwood has made in her life. That was right after, you know, she began coming. And just what a difference Northwood had made in her life. And she was describing this this sense of belonging, this sense of being able to connect, this sense of being able to contribute, get involved. And that was kind of new to her. Actually, what was really, really new to her was being encouraged to do that. Isn't that right, Rose? And given the opportunities and being released into ministry, into something valuable, something very significant. And I think I told her, at least I think I've told others, that that's part of Northwood. That's the heartbeat of Northwood. We want every single one of you to find your place, your niche, and fill it. Because you have gifts from God, you have abilities, you have a heart. I'm not talking about the physical blood pump either. You have a heart for God, and you have a personality that has been infused by the Spirit of God, and you have all kinds of experiences. That's the shape that Barry is talking about that he introduced last week. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and your experiences. Bring all of that together. Because it's God's work in your life to use it for Him. Are you using your shape for God? That's the question. What a blessing Rose is. She's now an elder. She leads the seniors ministry. I sit down with Rose periodically, every week or so, and we talk about ministry. What a great heart, what a great passion. I tell her, Rose, you love people. People love you. And to see what she's done among some of our seniors is just really wonderful. I think about someone like Jeff Lynn. Jeff and Luann came about 3 years ago, and Luann leads the World Mission team. And I remember they went through our new member series, and we talked about gifts as part of that, spiritual gifts, how to get involved by using your gifts in ministry. And one thing led to another, and Jeff and I started getting together. And I just absolutely love talking to people about this kind of stuff. We started getting together. And I said, you know, knowing more about Jeff and kind of getting a sense of who he was, his all these things, his spiritual gifts. You know, he took a test, and we kind of got a sense of his spiritual gifts, his heart, and what a great heart he has, abilities. Wow, what abilities he has, personality, many of his experiences. And I asked Jeff, would you like to mentor me? Would you like to help me become a better leader? You know, I have several mentors, and so would you like to be one of my mentors to help me know better how to lead and do the things that I'm supposed to do here, that kind of thing? And so we get together almost weekly. And then one thing led to another, and I said, Jeff, you know what? We really need to develop our ministries here. Here's the church, and we want to go here, and we need to develop ministry. We need to develop people. We need training. Would you help the staff know better how to do goals and establish goals and do our work better? And so I don't know how many times, you know, Jeff and I get together weekly. You wonder what I do. I get together all these people. We get together weekly. And I don't know how many times Jeff has said this, and it's caught me, my attention. It's gripped me. He says, you know, I love doing what I do. Isn't that great? I absolutely love what I do. Now, how many of you can say you love what you do? Spiritual gifts 101. Let's talk about it just for a little bit. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter how young you are either. You know what? I was going to tell this story too. My youngest, Gabriel, I love his heart. He's always, in my estimation, had the gift of giving. He'd give anything away, everything away. In fact, you know, his favorite possessions. You know, here was one of them. He gave me this car, and he was always giving not just me, but he was giving all kinds of people things. Here's a shell that he gave me. You know, he collected these things. And I noticed early that he had a gift for giving. He'd go, you know, be at a stop sign, and there'd be a homeless person, maybe they were a beggar, and he'd go back and give them something. He has a gift, a spiritual gift of giving. Even from a very early age, I noticed that. He was baptized when he was 5. No matter how old you are or how young you are, it's never too late to get in the groove of God's gifting, God's work, God's calling. Okay, so are you with me? What is a spiritual gift then? Let's start out with number one here. Every person has been created for ministry. Look at the verse here. Ephesians 2:10 says that He creates each of us. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work He does. Now that's the idea, joining God in His work. Oh, I want to do that. I don't want to just be off on my own and do my thing. I want to join God in His work. Let's look at the next one here. Not only have we been created, we have also been gifted for ministry, I believe. That's what this is all about. Look at this verse, 1 Peter 4:10. I love this. Each one, say each one. That's you. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to do what? To serve others. Not to self-glory, not to say, hey, look at me, look how great I am, look what I can do, but no, to serve others. Whatever gift you've gotten from the Lord, it's to serve others. Okay? So, your primary identity then, as a Christian, a believer, is a minister of Jesus Christ. I believe that. I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, I fill a special role, Ephesians 4, 10 and 11. I'm a pastor, and part of my job is to help you do your job. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Each one of us is a minister of Jesus Christ. Okay, so what are spiritual gifts? Here's a working definition I want to give you real quick. A spiritual gift is a fill-in-the-blank supernatural ability given to Christians to serve others. Supernatural ability given to Christians to serve others. What we're talking about here is something from God. That's what I mean by supernatural. It's not an ability to work with special groups of people. Okay, if you have a gift, you might be called to a certain group of people, but the gift itself is not to work with a certain group of people. The gift enables the ministry, and there's all kinds of ministries, the Bible says as well. We're not talking about fruit of the Spirit either. Not fruit of the Spirit. Every single Christian is to embody and possess and display fruit of the Spirit, because each Christian has the Spirit of God living within him or her. So we're not talking about the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Third, we're not simply talking about natural talents. So don't confuse gifts, spiritual gifts, with natural talents. We're talking again about something supernatural, and talents are something natural. You might get them through a parent. You might get them through just genetics, DNA, makeup, the way you're born, the way you're made, those kinds of things. You might be naturally talented or predisposed toward music or something like that. The spiritual gift is something that God gives you to use whatever you and I have, abilities and talents, to serve Him with, to bring glory and honor to Him as we serve other people. So rather, number two, gifts are gifts according to the grace given to us. Romans 12, verse 6. The grace given to us. Now, grace is something from whom? God. Grace points up the giver. Grace points us to the giver. Some people call these gifts grace gifts. They have nothing to do with our merit. They have nothing to do with anything we've done. They're grace gifts. They're from God. In fact, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:28, given through God's appointment. Circle God there. Given through God's appointment. And in the scriptures that follow, you can see that all the Godhead are involved in the giving of gifts. I love that. And you'll see why in just a moment. All the Godhead are involved. God is involved. The Holy Spirit is involved. Jesus Christ is involved. Now think about that. All the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, know you. And I believe, I don't know how it happened exactly, but they knew you. They know you and me intimately. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, in that infinite knowledge of you that the Godhead has, they chose, they gave gifts to you by their own sovereign will, their own choosing. That's why I believe we don't say, you know, God, I don't like my gift. You know, what if I still have these in my box, my personal box of things that people have given me or that are important to me. What if I had said to Gabe when he gave me these gifts here, what are those? I'm not interested in that Corvette. That's a toy Corvette. I'm not interested. Or that shell. I mean, how would that have made him feel? Now, what if you despise the gifts that you have been given? What if you pass it off as, oh, that's no big deal. Oh, that's not important. I can't do anything. How many of you have ever thought or said, I can't do anything for God? You know, I talk to Christians, a lot of Christians, who feel that way. They've been made to feel that way. They haven't been elevated and enabled and encouraged and come to the place where they see, oh, you are a gifted man or woman of God, gifted by the Holy Spirit, gifted by Jesus Christ. And wow, what you do is valuable. What you can do is valuable. Let me help you realize that more and more. So don't despise what you have been given. The value of your gift set is immeasurable. Most people have more than one, but you have at least one. It's immeasurable. I can't tell you how worthy and how valuable the gift you have is. It's immeasurable. Gifts embody these four things I've noticed. Number one, ability. If you have a gift, you have ability. Don't say, I can't. If God says you can, here's my gift, you can. The gift brings and enables ability. Number two, it gives qualification. If you have a gift, you're qualified. Now hear me say this. Listen, tune in here. What qualifies you for service in the body of Christ, I think fundamentally is the gift that you have, the gifting that you've received. It doesn't matter about education. It doesn't matter about some other human things. Now, am I saying that education is bad? No. Am I saying that education is wrong? No. But here's the point. The point is, I'm not qualified because of my education. I'm qualified because of my gifting. And education just enables the greater use of my gift. And education allows me to maybe possibly come into a more knowledge and a greater understanding and a greater ability to use what God is calling me to. Does that make sense to you? Education enhances what God gives, I believe. Number three, it gives strength. How many of you have ever seen anybody that seemed to just go and have a supernatural sort of energy to do something? You ever seen anybody like that? I have. How many of you have ever heard or known of anybody, you know, in all of your lifetime? It's rare, I know, but in all of your lifetime, who got burned out? Huh? Who felt burned out? Who said, "I'm burned out"? Huh? Yeah. You know why? Chances are, possibly, and probably, they were doing something too long in an area that they weren't really gifted in. They didn't have the gifts for it. They were filling a slot, filling a role. Okay? There is a supernatural empowering, a strength, I think, if you have a gift in something. And you don't get tired. Let me tell you, preaching Mother's Day sermons wears me out. I don't have the gift for it. Okay? Now, if you think about that, you'll know what I'm saying. It's not that I don't like to preach or can't teach or those kinds of things, but preaching week in and week out, every Mother's Day, every Father's Day, and all those kinds, just wears me out. It's not my thing. It's Barry's thing. Right, Barry? Huh? Yeah? Okay. It's his thing. So don't ask me to preach on Mother's Day, okay? Or Father's Day, or whatever, those special days. I just can't do it. Can't do it. But I love doing this. I love when I have something like this. And I love what I do almost all the other time. I love it. And you probably think I work so much, so hard. How do you do what you do? It's this. It's a supernatural strength. Okay? Because I'm doing what I'm finally meant to do. That's the difference. How many of you are doing here what you're meant to do? According to your gifting, and because it gives, it means you have ability and you're qualified for it and you have strength. And number four, responsibility. Let me tell you something. You better use what God has given you. You're responsible. It's part of, and the blank here is stewardship. It's part of your stewardship. What if you said to God, "God, I know you've given me gifts. I know what they are, but I'm not going to use them. I'm not going to use them. I'm too busy. I'm not going to use them." You going to say that to God? You really want to say that to God? What kind of gifts are we talking about? We don't have time to read all this, but let me read just a few verses here. Verse 3 of Romans 12, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to." In other words, don't be puffed up. Don't think you can do everything. Don't, you know, think you're the end-all and be-all of everything. You can't do it all. Don't think that you're something that you're not. Look at yourself here, he says. Judge yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. See yourself in light of God and the faith that God has given you and who he is in you and what he has done in your life and how he has made you. Take an honest, good, long look at yourself. Honest appraisal. Just as each of us has has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You see, we need one another because we can't do it all. You know, I can't do everything. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, or a woman's gift is prophesying, it's generic here. It means men or women. If your gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his or her faith. If it's serving, let him or her serve. If it's teaching, let him or her teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him or her give generously. If it's leadership, then let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I think all the lists in the Bible, and you have the scriptures there that you can read on your own, all these scriptures indicate different kinds of gifts. People ask me this question. Are these all the gifts, the ones you read in the Bible? I think these are illustrative and not exhaustive. That's my personal view. I think they're illustrative, they're not exhaustive. Find what you are good at and love it. Embrace it. Seize it. Go for it. Carpe diem. Our emphasis, my emphasis at least, when I teach on this in these passages is on, now listen, fill in the blank, task-oriented gifts that build teams of people. God gives us gifts. We need one another. We're in the body. Many members, one body, and we all bring what we bring to the table to serve others as we build up the kingdom of God. So here's some important principles to remember, okay? Now these are taken from these scriptures that you see listed there. I'm going to read one or two of these as we go through this real quickly. Number one, here's what the Bible teaches. We know a spiritual gift is a supernatural empowering for service upon a Christian in the body of Christ. Everyone has at least one spiritual gift. I've noticed that most people are a blend of different gifts. I've taken, I don't know how many gifts tests through the years. You know, how many of you could tell me what my gifts are? Let's see if you can do that. Who wants to venture? What would you say is a gift of mine? Organization? Okay. Administration? Okay. Okay. Well, administration, organization, well, communication, I'll leave up to you to decide, I guess. But I think you're right. You know, I do have that ability a little bit, a gift a little bit, would you say? Okay. All right. What else? Anybody else want to venture? Okay.
Passion.
Passion, okay. Okay. Evangelism. Oh, I loved sharing with non-Christians especially. And you know, I was accused in one church of caring more for new people, caring more for non-Christians than, you know, everybody else there. So I hope you don't think that. But, boy, I love new people. And actually, I'm in the perfect role because I get to deal with all the new folks, you know? I just love it. Just love it. Okay. All right. What else?
Insightfulness.
Okay. What else?
Teaching.
Okay. Compassion. Yeah, okay. Okay, okay. Encouragement, okay. Every gifts test I take turns out this way. Administration. I can organize anything with my eyes shut and two hands behind my back. Teaching and evangelism. And a spattering of other things as well, but those are the predominant ones, you see. And everybody, all of you are a blend of different gifts. They're kind of come together in certain ways, and they create you to be a special minister of God. Oh, I just love it. Isn't that wonderful? That God has created you in the way that you are created. And part of that creation, that creative activity of God, which is so, I mean, just look around, how creative is God? Look at creation. How creative is God? You're part of it. And everybody is different, and he's given you gifts in a special way. Oh, boy, but if you just got a hold of it and used it for his glory to serve others in the kingdom of God, what difference would that make? Your gift is vital to the body. We need each other. Look at this passage. Where are we at? Okay. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that's you and me, forms and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, if you're not doing your work, the body is suffering. That's what that says. Okay? Your gift set is different from mine. Mine is probably different from yours, and that's okay. One thing I told Rose is we don't believe in putting, how's the saying go? We don't believe in putting square pegs in round holes. Not that Rose is a square or anything. But we don't believe putting in square pegs in round holes. We want you to find exactly where you fit, where you can blossom, where you can do your thing, because God is first calling you to that, and he's gifted you to that, and you love doing it. Does that make sense? Isn't that good? Number four, the goal for all of us is the same thing. Now look at this. The scripture is going to be wrong. It's going to say, oh, it's right. I guess I corrected it on this. The goal for all of us is the same. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the what? Say it again. I didn't hear you. Amen. For the common good. That means that God wants you, expects you to use your gifts not for self-glory, but for the good of everybody else, for the good of the church. Number five, use whatever gift you've received in great, great love. In that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then into 13, remember, there's a lot of teaching there about spiritual gifts, and Paul enumerates some of these gifts. And he says at the end, I'm going to paraphrase, he says at the end, but I want to tell you what the greatest thing of all is. What is it? It's love. The greatest thing of all is love. He says, if you can do this but don't have love, you're nothing. He says, if you can do this but don't have love, you're nothing. He says, if you can do this but don't have love, you're nothing. If you can do this but don't have love, you're nothing. It amounts to nothing. Use whatever gifting you have received from God with great, great love. You say, okay, I'm sold. I told you I could do this. I'm doing well here. Okay? How can I begin to discover my spiritual gift set? This is very, very simple. Number one, understand the biblical teaching about spiritual gifts. Take this with you. Read all the scriptures. Make it your passion, your desire this coming month or the next 6 months to focus on understanding more about spiritual gifts. Study the Bible. The teaching is there for a reason. Every single Christian here ought to be able to know and say, here's what a spiritual gift is, here's what gifts are, here's the gifts I think I have. You need to make it a priority. Take the spiritual gifts analysis on our website. How many of you knew that we have a spiritual gifts analysis test on our website? Raise your hand. Hi. Okay, gosh. Okay, now raise your hand, those of you who know it now. Okay, it's on the website. And I ask the question to Jill, could we put it up, how to do it? I don't know if we can or not. But what you do is you go to that website right there, and then you click on what's happening, and then there's another list, and then you click on, it's the very first one, spiritual gifts analysis, and you click on that, and then the spiritual gifts analysis comes up, and then you click on individual user. You just kind of follow them, the instructions, okay? It's a neat thing. I took it recently, and it's a lot of fun. So take the test. Number three, begin to ask God for his guidance. Begin praying about this. Number four, and I told Rose this, just start. There's no failures. No failure. You absolutely cannot fail. Just start. I like to say this, service leads to discovery. Say that out loud, will you? Service leads to discovery. If you're wondering what you can do, then just start. Get involved. Do something. Don't sit around and wait for the perfect fit. Let me ask you this. why would God show you your gifting, the thing that He wants to call you to, if you refuse to be a servant, if you refuse to serve? Why should God show you your gifting? If you see a need, fill it. I love to talk to people about their passions. As you are beginning this discovery, as you take the test, start thinking about, what am I passionate about? What gets you going? I've been here now 5 or so years. I wonder if you could tell me what you think gets me going. Now, you don't have to answer out loud about that, but I wonder if you could tell me what I'm passionate about. I wonder if you could tell me what I just love. What do you find yourself talking about? What do you find yourself speaking enthusiastically about? Maybe those are clues to something that God has placed within your heart. What do you enjoy doing more than anything else? What seems to be confirmed by others a lot? What do they say? Hey, boy, you know, I appreciate you doing that. You know, you're so good at that. Thank you for that service. What do people say to you? We need to be talking to one another like that. So why is this important? Two things. It provides insight into God's will for your life. Remember Gabe, my youngest? I said to begin with that he loves to give things away. He tithes as a 21-year-old. I kind of said that, and it sounded like I was negative against that, didn't it? I don't mean I wasn't. I'm just amazed at that. I guess I'm saying it because I'm amazed at that. Really. He and I were talking recently, and we've been talking about this for some years now. You know the person with the gift of giving, you know something they also have? They seem to have this way, this ability to dream things for God. And Gabe is majoring in business. He wants to be a Christian businessman. And he talks about that all the time. And you know what his dream is? It's not to be a Christian businessman who has a bunch of money. He wants to be a Christian businessman and get into real estate development and things like that. Because he wants to buy a house, maybe next to the U of O or someplace like that, and have it and fix it up and have it for Christian students to live there while they go to school free of charge. I said, go for it. Your gift provides insight into God's will for your life. You want to know that? Get in touch with the gifting God has given you. It also gives a greater sense of significance and purpose for your Christian life. You hear me talk a lot about finding significance through service. You want to do something significant? Find your gift. Give it to God. Serve for His glory and the common good. And see what God will do. Father, thank you for your love and goodness and grace and gifting in our life, and help us to use it for your glory and the blessing of others. In Jesus' name, amen.